Good morning, Evergreen Online. I'm Pastor Jason Hashimoto, and I'm the Senior Pastor of Evergreen Baptist Church of Los Angeles. And whether you are a longtime attendee of Evergreen, or whether you just kind of stumbled upon one of our services on the internet, I want to welcome you here this morning to worship with us on this last Sunday of Lent. Palm Sunday is traditionally the Sunday that the church remembers Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding atop a donkey. And as he rode, people laid palm fronds at his feet as a sign of peace, as a sign of victory, and as a sign of utmost respect. Palm Sunday also marks the beginning of Holy Week, the week that leads up to Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection from the grave. Now, this Lenten season, we have been exploring all the ways in which we are broken and our lives are broken because of our exposure to and our participation in the sin of this world. This Sunday, we'll be doing something a little bit different. The ministry staff will be sharing short snippets, thoughts, reflections upon the ways that we are broken and we experience brokenness in our personal lives. I hope and I pray that these reflections and these thoughts will help you as you lament your own brokenness this week. God bless you. Thanks for worshiping with us.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Greetings, Evergreen family. Welcome to Holy Week. As we come to the final week of our Lenten journey, I know that the pandemic has created great upheaval and brokenness in our hearts. And the question I've been thinking about in these past weeks has been, how long, God? I mark the days that we've been sheltered at home by choosing not to shave. How long, God? I've seen my personal rhythm disrupted. No LA Fitness workouts. Lines at Trader Joe's. How long, God? Even though I feel physically fine, I sense a weightiness in my soul. How long, God? I think about our healthcare professionals, those on the front line, who have not yet seen the worst to come. How long, God? I see our young families adapting and adjusting to 24/7 life at home, meals to cook for family, being surrogate teachers, and having little personal margin. How long, O God? As our Evergreen family may one day have the experience of someone who has tested positive to the coronavirus, how will we respond? How long, O God? And finally, I, like you, have felt the loss of control, of autonomy, and freedom. How long, O God? Romans chapter 8 reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Hi everyone, my name is Elsa, and I would like to share the moment when I feel broken. I've been Christian for many years, and there are many times that I feel broken for being not good enough. For many reasons, I'm starting to compare myself to others. I know it's not good, but it happens many times. So I'm starting to think that everybody doing better, look better, everybody have more successful life. And it dragged me to the depression, feel useless, hopeless, and unloved. And I'm starting to question myself, and even I'm questioning God. It's really hard to move on when you feel unloved, when you feel worthless. But you know, I always remember one song that God gave me when I was a kid. And also, I'm serving God as a children ministry associate, and I love to teach this song to the children, since this song is not only teaching the children, but also helping me to move forward beyond what my beyond my brokenness. So this song is just like this. Jesus loves Elsa, this I know, from the Bible tells me so. Little one, to him belong. Yes, I am weak, but Jesus is strong. This song is really helping me to remind me, yes, I am weak, but Jesus is strong. When I feel broken, Jesus is there. Jesus is listening, and Jesus will help me. So thank you for listening, and I hope this sharing will bless your day. God bless you.
When I reflect on the topic of broken self during this time, I have to be vulnerable and admit that I've been wrestling with my grief. About a couple weeks ago, I realized that the feelings of not being in control was and is bringing me back to the journey alongside of my mom and her battle with cancer. C.S. Lewis has this beautiful quote from his book, A Grief Observed, and I often find myself returning back to it. He writes, "Grief is like a long valley, a winding valley where any bend may reveal a totally new landscape. But the surprise is the opposite one. You are presented with exactly the same sort of country you thought you had left miles ago. And that's when you wonder whether the valley isn't a circular trench, but it isn't." As I've entered back into a familiar but new land, I'm reminding that grieving takes a movement that requires me to slow down. There's much wisdom in Psalms 46 as it highlights how the circumstances of life around can feel so very chaotic. When the world feels like it's in turmoil, the instruction is, "Be still." My hope is that as we all face our own losses in the midst of our current circumstances, that we slow down,
that we be honest with ourselves, with God, and with community. Peace.
Good morning, Evergreen family. I'm really missing you all and praying for you every day. Life has been incredibly challenging for me over the last year. As you may know, I'm dealing with a chronic illness called fibromyalgia, which means I have pain and fatigue constantly. When our four kids are in school, I usually spend a lot of my time resting in bed so that I can have energy for the rest of the day with them. Now, my husband Kenji is trying to work from home, and both of us are trying to help the kids with their distance learning. I'm spending my days cooking, cleaning, teaching, mediating arguments, going on walks with my kids. I'm still trying to rest every day, but it's rarely uninterrupted. My mental health has always been a struggle. I struggle with depression and with accepting my value in Christ. This time of safer at home has magnified everything. I'm an extreme extrovert, so I'm missing time being with people. Being home all the time reminds me of the things that I don't do well. Having ADD, I struggle with organization and completing tasks. My house is not a peaceful environment with everything in its place. And now I don't have the excuse of being busy, so I just start to feel bad about myself, and it leads me to question my value and feel inadequate. Then depression wants to creep in on top of already feeling physically depleted. I feel like I'm in a vicious cycle with no exit in sight. With the busyness and flurry of daily life coming to a halt, my self-talk is louder. The lyrics from You Say by Lauren Daigle feels like the anthem of my life. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. You say I'm held when I'm falling short. When I don't belong, you say that I'm yours, and I believe what you say of me. I'm needing to find new strategies for coping, since the things I did before are less available to me now. I've been listening to a lot more worship music while I've been working in the kitchen. I've been reaching out to friends and family when I feel down. I've been trying to give myself lots of grace when the day doesn't go as I planned, or when I don't get enough done. I've been trying to remind myself that my worth does not come from what I do, but from God's never-ending love for me. When I hear those lies saying I'm not good enough, I meditate on truths from God's word. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I've continued my faithfulness to you. This time of being home is forcing me to slow down, to be thankful for my family, my health, the needs that are met, and technology to still be connected to people. I'm thankful that God is continuing to teach me to accept my worth and value from Him. These are lessons that I will probably need to learn throughout my life. Love and many blessings to you all.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Today we're talking about broken self. And I'd like to share with you what I've long considered broken in me, and something that I continue to struggle with even today. I grew up with two older siblings, two older sisters who are 7 and 9 years older than I, as well as a younger brother who is 1.5 years younger than I. With two older sisters and a younger brother, who all got good grades and were very, very smart and attended great universities. I always thought that I was not smart. As with all Asian parents, good grades was a thing. And I struggled with getting good grades. So that's when I thought, you know what? I'm not just not smart, I'm dumb. And this has carried me, this has been in me all these years. And I have panic attacks as well as anxiety attacks over it. In addition, I never thought I was good enough. And this was pointed out to me when I first joined the staff at Evergreen. When I first accepted the call, someone pointed out to me that that staff is really, really smart. And another time, someone came up to me and says, you know, you do things out of fear. You're not brave enough. And then another time, this is when I was even younger, growing up, learning how to pray. Someone told me that my prayers were terrible and that I didn't know how to pray. But in the last few years, as my relationship with Jesus has deepened, I have realized and that Jesus has shown me that because I couldn't answer a question and didn't know all the answers and that my prayers weren't long, it's okay. Prayers didn't have to be long. Even if I stumbled over my words and didn't make sense, it was okay. And another thing, no one knows all the answers. And even if I did do things out of fear, I think it was brave. I think it's a brave thing to do. And that's all still good. This Evergreen family and my other spiritual communities has been a great support for me because they can see the possibilities in me that I couldn't see in myself. Now, whenever these panic attacks and these anxiety attacks and these insecurities come up, I just remember to lay all of it, at the feet of Jesus.
I could probably go on forever about my brokenness, but I think especially in this time of my life, I am struggling and wrestling so much with imposter syndrome, feeling both unworthy, inadequate, and also very unseen and uninvited. And most problematically, this doesn't apply to, say, the people around me viewing me, but in the ways that I feel like God views me, in the ways that I feel like God's hosting a banqueting party and banqueting table, and I'm just not invited to have a seat at that table. And this has been something that I've been struggling with all my life, and you can chalk it up to my pastor's kid childhood or being a classically trained musician and being a perfectionist, etc. But for better or for worse, this is just my ongoing cross to bear. And I think especially because currently, you know, I am transitioning out of still my old church community into EBCLA community, as I have graduated from Fuller Seminary and some in life post-grad, and also living in the pandemic where everything is kind of crazy. I think especially nowadays, I feel very isolated in kind of this battle, this ongoing mental battle that I have. You know, I try to cope with it as much as I can by trying to break the cycle. So oftentimes when I find myself in this rabbit hole, I pick up my guitar and play a chord really loud, or I try to cook something, you know, new, sometimes very unhealthy, or I watch Netflix, Terrace House, Tokyo Edition, whatever it is. I try to take a walk, play with my cats, but I find it helpful to try to break through that rhythm. And I also find community to be such a key component in my life, because the voices of my friends and my family members, the truths they tell me through the Zoom calls nowadays, right? It does tend to drown out the lies that Satan tries to tell me about myself and that broken reflection that I see in a mirror on a daily basis. And so I think I know it'll take time, but I am looking forward to the community here that God is bringing me into at Evergreen, but also just overall how God will continue to equip me to fight the seasonal battles with the imposter. I can't wait till I don't see her ever again.
I'm here in the garage because it feels like this is the only place where someone's not going to interrupt me while I take this video. Feel like it's a great example of kind of the chaos and the shift that's happened in our world and even in our homes itself. You know, one of the things that we've had to do, that I've had to do along with my wife Farah during this time, is we've had to not only try to work from home, but also try to be homeschool parents during this time. There's a lot of parents out there that are doing such a great job at giving their kids assignments and having a curriculum and a schedule and doing all these projects that look fun and educational and looks like their kids are developing and learning at home. Our kids, I have to admit, like I'm not doing that great of a job, and I feel really self-conscious sometimes. The other day I posted a video of our kids doing an art project and it looked really great. Except for the fact, I didn't mention the fact that that was the only time during the day when there wasn't a lot of yelling in our house, where people weren't really on edge and being frustrated. And I think that's become more of the norm during this time. I realize that a lot of that frustration comes from the fact, not that I'm angry at my family, not that I'm angry at my wife or my kids, even though that's kind of how it comes out of me. But I feel like it's because I'm actually kind of angry at myself. Like I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like I'm not doing a good job at helping my kids to develop and helping my kids to learn, and feel like they're gonna be so behind later. I feel like I'm not doing a good job as a parent of having patience with my kids and being fun for them and caring for them in this way. I feel like I'm out of control in so many ways. I realize that if somebody were to come up to me and somebody else and just say, "Pastor Jason, this is what's going on in my life. What advice would you give me?" I'd probably say you need to have some grace on yourself. You need to have a little patience with yourself. It's a worldwide pandemic and the world has completely changed. I realize that that's easier advice to give to someone else than to give to myself. I think of the passage in Matthew chapter 22 where Jesus talks about the first and second greatest commandment. The first about being loving the Lord your God. The second about loving your neighbor as yourself. And I feel like for me, sometimes the commandment or the call that Jesus gives to me is love yourself as you would your neighbor, because sometimes it's easier to love your neighbor, to love somebody else, than to extend that kind of grace and love and care to myself. As we think about being broken and lament our broken relationships in this world, I lament the fact that one of the relationships that's the most broken in my life is the one that I have with myself. Have mercy on me, God, according to your faithful love. Wipe away my wrongdoings according to your great compassion.
Wash me completely clean of my guilt. Purify me from my sin.
Because I know my wrongdoings, my sin is always right in front of me.
I've sinned against you, you alone. I've committed evil in your sight. That's why you are justified when you render your verdict, completely correct when you issue your judgment.
Yes, I was born in guilt and sin from the moment my mother conceived me.
And yes, you want truth in the most hidden places. You teach me wisdom in the most secret space.
Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and celebration again.
Let the bones you crushed rejoice once more.
Hide your face from my sins. Wipe away all my guilty deeds.
Create a clean heart for me, God. Put a new, faithful spirit deep inside me.
Please don't throw me out of your presence. Please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me.
Return the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me with a willing spirit.
Then I will teach wrongdoers your ways, and sinners will come back to you.
Deliver me from violence, God, God of my salvation, so that my tongue can sing of your righteousness.
Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your grace.
You don't want sacrifices. If I gave an entirely burned offering, you wouldn't be pleased.
A broken spirit is my sacrifice, God. You won't despise a heart, God, that is broken and crushed.
Do good things for Zion by your favor. Rebuild Jerusalem's walls.
Then you will again want sacrifices of righteousness, entirely burned offerings and complete offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. Lord, we lament all the ways in which we are broken.